Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, hey, everybody. Welcome in. Yes, Benny's excited to the Challenge After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. We got episode 8 of Total Madness coming at you. We got the whole crew in the house. Like I said, literally in the house. Pam's raising the roof. I mean, it's going to be exciting night, guys. Love this episode. The format is back. My format. Clearly, the producers were listening to me last week. Like, oh, we got to get Dan's format back. I got a full storyline. I loved it, guys. Give me your overall thoughts. Let's do this. Anybody?
I thought it was a good episode. It was a really good episode. Jordan really, like, he tried his best, and the whole Nelson and Bear thing. That was a good elimination to watch. So overall, like, I loved it.
Yeah, I agree. It was a bummer seeing Jordan go out like that. It was kind of a dirty move, but, you know, Jordan's got heart in that. You know, he stepped up and went after it. But I think overall the episode was good, though, especially with the drama with Nelson, and then he backed that up, and then just kind of seeing how everything unfolded. It was, you know, the elimination was great. The challenge itself was okay. But overall, I think the episode was about 7. I'll give it a 7.
I felt like this episode, I was just blinking my eyes 100 times. There was so much that went on between drama, like Nelson and Kyle fighting at the bar for like 10 seconds. And then Big T was like bleeding. And I couldn't tell if it was a serious injury, if it was just really dramatic. The fact that she was being carried out by multiple people and that she was on crutches. We didn't really get to the root of her injury. But between that, having a daily challenge, and having an elimination, there was just so much that went on. I was like, holy shit, this is like a really packed episode.
They cut the fat, unlike the last 2 weeks. This is what I love. It's moving. They're keeping it moving. And I'm like, the whole time I was like, oh my God, I love everything that's happening because it's so much packed together.
But it was like
Pamela,
really fast
how about you?
Though, right?
I agree, Dan, with you 100% that the format was fantastic. A challenge, a night out, and an elimination. And these eliminations were sick. I have to say that I have never, I can't think of a time that I've laughed so hard. I'm loving Nelson this episode so much.
Really?
So funny, but not intentional.
Wow.
Like, I don't mean I'm loving him like the way I love someone that I'm loving watching him. He is hilarious.
Because because he keeps making mistakes? Like he thought he could make an alliance with everybody in the house?
He's hilarious.
I get it, yeah.
Hilarious. But I still do love him because he's so sincere. I just think he's, suffice it to say, Corey's the, like, brains and rationale in that relationship now, which is a really fun turn of events to watch.
Right.
Wait, Pam, I completely agree. And you know how there's Twitter accounts that's like Cara Maria Defender? I feel like I'm a Nelson Defender. Like, even if he can be a bonehead and mess up, like, I love watching him so much. And he is so funny. And I feel like he really just, he can come at people, but he's temperamental. But he kind of, like, has a good heart at the end of the day. And I'm rooting for him. And he's so funny and enjoyable to watch. And I love that in this episode he said, make sure you read the fine print, people. Nobody reads like the terms of service or whatever the little microscopic print is.
Right.
I loved it. I was like, okay, Nelson, because at first I'm like, Nelson, like, you messed up here. You're like the guy that's trying to tell every girl in the house he loves them, right? But he's cheating on every girl. So he's like playing every field. But at the same time, he's like, hey, make sure you read the fine print of our contract. And I was like, okay, Nelson, go ahead.
And to him, he thinks he's saying something like really profound, like, so I made those deals. I made them weekly, people, weekly. Like, he thinks that he's reinventing the wheel and he's so convinced of it. And I agree, Jenna, I don't think he's malicious. Like, he says horrible things and I'm not condoning the things that he said. but I don't feel like he's got malicious intent. I don't feel like he's a mean guy. He's just sort of like, oh, Nelson, no. Like, you just, well, no.
Nelson just doesn't speak before he speaks, pretty much. Right. And oh, so yeah, he digs himself deeper and deeper and deeper into a hole every time he speaks. And he lets his passion for this game get him in trouble, and that's what it is.
Right.
Speaking of reinventing the wheel, Pam, I mean, yes, he went in there and he says, oh, I put bear into hibernation. Like, no one's ever thought of that joke before. Like, he thought it was hilarious. But in the long run, he did go in there and destroy bear. Like, it was no, he didn't even sweat, apparently. So
it's kind of awesome.
Awesome. Right. Yeah. Naturally, you know, I defend Nelson, but week after week, I'm like, it's getting harder and harder to defend you, man. And then this episode, I was like, oh, I think he kind of did it. I don't know if I can defend you, dude, but he did back it up, which props to him, you know, but it was a tough episode. He did put his foot in his mouth again and he got caught. But it was hilarious. I agree with you. It was funny to watch.
Yeah, tonight right, was guys, like the Nelson episode. It was all about yeah, him. It was like it all was the storylines. But sorry, really go ahead, Dan.
So anyways, guys, let's get into decontamination. They've got biohazardous material, aka soap bubbles, that they got to find their way through. They got 15 little tiles that they are, I mean, they're big. They're probably pretty heavy. These tiles they have to stack up. And the first two people that win it get to be in that tribunal, and they get to pick a third. I had a couple things that I wrote down. I wrote that Nani and Jenna are helping Kayla protect Bear so that she can cheat on him.
How'd that work out?
Her boyfriend work? What was that? Was that was weird. Why would they help her do that? Go, you go, girls. Like, that was weird. And I wrote that Wes looked like Heisenberg from Breaking Bad in the suit. Those are my two thoughts.
Oh, my gosh.
He looks exactly like it. Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
That's funny. I thought the strategy, I mean, this is one of those ones too. It's like, what is the best strategy? There's so many things you can do in this situation. And you saw it was across the board from Nelson, like hiding in there, you know, thinking he's lost, to Bananas literally just standing out front watching the colors. I mean, Wes mastermind. It was across the board. And, you know, it's one of those things like, what do you do? What would be the best strategy in that route?
Nelson's was smart if he could have pulled it off.
Yeah, but, I mean, I think Bananas was the best. I mean, he literally just stood there, you know, like watching the colors. Like,
well, of course, I'm surprised no one else saw those flashing lights on the right side of the big box.
Also, isn't that straight up cheating? Like, I'm surprised that flew. Like, that to me is straight up cheating, because when
the producer should catch that, Pam. The producer should have caught that. You could see it. They test these games ahead of time.
But when they saw the lights on the side, game, it was going, like, it wasn't like, by whatever means, you have to get this pattern. It was like, if you don't go in, to me, this is not the sword I'm going to die on. I don't care. But I think that was straight up cheating. And, like, if anyone had made a fuss about it, I'll be curious to see what the cast says about it on their socials, watching back, because it's like, yeah, that's pretty much cheating.
I think it's just an example of Bananas outsmarting the game, which he always does. He always has the best strategy. Right. It's not any more cheating than Bailey looking literally at, like, CT's puzzle that one day, you know, when she won the challenge.
Yes, it is. Because you're not completing the tasks of the puzzle when you do what Banana did. But Bailey, if there's an end and you cheat, everyone on this one cheated on, you know, they were like, everyone look at Bessie, he's done. Like, cheating when the puzzle's done, looking at other people's answers, copying answers, I think is different than not participating in a part of the heat. That's a different
thing. I get what you're saying, but it wasn't like there was like a...
He did participate.
He never went into the contamination.
He still put the colors on top of the other colors. He just did it in a smarter way.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't go through one of the phases, which, again, I don't care that much, but if I were one of the challengers and I was competing against him and he got into the tribunal with that, I'd be like, no way. Uh-uh. He didn't do it. That's not fair.
Well, he didn't literally
even run in and fake it. Like, run in and run out and then do the colors from the side.
He thought outside the soapbox. Ha, ha, ha. And Wes still beat him. If you think about that, too. Wes went in there and still did a faster time than Banana Strategy.
Everybody. The cheaters,
what about the people? Players? Yeah, so that's the thing, Pam. Is that cheating when they all worked as a team? Is that cheating too? Because to me, that would be the same thing as what Bananas did. And I don't consider any of it
teaming up.
It's all fair game. It's all fair game.
I guess
I think that Bananas really just found a loophole and he just outsmarted the competition. It wasn't like he did anything that was cheating, because it wasn't like you had to go get a token. It wasn't like a checklist that you had to enter the foam pit. or the foam, okay, whatever me, we want to call it.
That's but... like Laurel with the pole. It's like, I improvised. Mm. It's like, you didn't do what you're supposed to do. You cheated. Like,
I see what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah, okay.
That feels different to me again, still, the whole.
Sure. Yeah. Okay, obviously, it worked, and he didn't get called out for cheating, so.
Potato, potato. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do like Nelson like shooting his shot with a strategy though. He went in there, yeah, and everybody's like, file a missing purchase report. LOL, Nelson's so dumb. Hee hee ha ha. Which I guess, you know, they lead up to always thinking that he is on the shorter end of the stick with like strategy and stuff. But hey, everybody is entitled to their own strategy.
Exactly.
And when he came out and he said what he was doing, I was like, not bad. Like, can you tell me he's actually smart?
Can you break down? I did not catch Nelson's strategy.
So basically he went in there and he was in there so long because he was just memorizing the last four colors. And so he went out knowing everybody else is going back and forth, memorizing every single color. And then they have to take shifts to be able to like memorize them in certain like, you know, in shifts.
Chunks.
And he, in chunks, yeah. And he memorizes only the last five colors that he can see everybody else stacking up the colors. And he's the only one that knows the last five. So that he can
He stacked the first 10 that was already completed.
That is the downfall to that is they could
if someone messes
wrong.
Up.
Right.
Well, you so got to pick the smartest person, though, Benny. That's what I was thinking right. I was thinking that too, Benny. But you just got to pick who you think is the best at memorization. You know, maybe you look at a Wes for that or something and say, oh, I'm going to just copy Wes's or something like that. But yeah, I don't think they were in the same heat anyways, but you know, do your best.
Right.
It didn't work out for him. I was wondering too, if every heat probably had to change the color order, right? Because if everybody was watching and they saw the order Wes put it in and they know that he won, oh, yeah, they could kind of start an acronym in their mind saying, okay, I'm just going to copy what Wes had already got.
It's true.
Those are a lot of colors. Uh-oh. I don't know how they did that. That was like a lot.
Yeah.
What strategy would you guys have taken?
I would have three runs with five each time. I would have memorized five each time. I would have done three runs to get to 15. That's what I would.
Dan knows. He's ready. You sign him up. Where's his application for the challenge? He's ready to.
You asked me a question, David, so I answered it. That's
fair enough.
I wasn't gonna say anything.
I probably would have tried to memorize all the colors at once by just like coming up with an acronym. You know, if it's red, I'll just say anything like.
You'd say Rogan.
Rogan, something. Just kind of come up with like a sentence of sorts to be able to just remember the color by the first initial of the word.
All right. Let's move on, guys. Nah, Benny. No one else saw it but him, though. No one else even knew that was going on. Like, not one other person did that strategy. But we don't know that. That's what the producers are telling us. We have no idea. Sure. Maybe other people saw it, too. We don't.
Can we give a shout out to Josh for being the first one in like the bubble pit and saying all of a sudden he's breathing in these toxic capital T bubbles. And I was like, Josh, like they're going to put anything on the show to poison you.
Let's give a shout out to Jenna then, because she said it was like a haunted house. And I was like, what kind of freaky haunted house are you doing, Jenna? What the hell was that? I didn't get that.
Sexy haunted house.
Right, it's like a Vegas cold.
Where are you and Zach going in October, huh?
Bubble bath, haunted houses. Ooh. All right, let's go to nominations here. Okay, so they Wes chooses bananas. That's nice to be in the tribunal with him and Maddie. So that was fun. They showed the whole world on the show that they're working together. Like, I mean, some of them knew, but you know, the world knew as well. So great. Yeah. And then, okay, so we get to nominations. They vote in Fessy, who, despite his bigness and scariness, it could only hold that back so long. He gets voted in. And then Nelson, because he made an alliance with everyone, and Kyle called him out for that. And everyone else jumped on board that bandwagon. Thoughts on the little nomination section of the night, guys?
I thought it was very smart that they sent in Fessy, because, you know, you don't want him going to the final. So it was a toss of a coin. He did win, so it's going to be hard.
Yeah. But he's also a rookie, Benny, too. He's a rookie. What? He doesn't have as many ties. He's a rookie and doesn't have as many ties. So that's another good reason to just get him in there. Yeah.
The dude is a beast. So it was a smart move to take that bargain to send him in.
Yeah, I agree. I was satisfied with how everything went down. I thought it was hilarious how Kyle was kind of just like a desperate little, you know, person, like, save me, Johnny, save me. I thought that was hilarious. Jordan, of course, just, hey, he's ready to go. You know, I do like the fact he was thrown in there. I think with given who we have left is almost, in my opinion, a shoo-in for him. I think Jordan was his best opportunity. You know, I think that's the best guy to go against. But obviously the competition was kind of one-sided. But, you know, it was interesting. It was fun. But I think it was kind of pretty straightforward how they did everything. I mean, kind of predictable.
I was glad that Fessy got voted in just because I want to see him perform. We obviously see him perform very well in the daily challenges, but now it's time to see what he can do in elimination. So I was really pumped to see somebody of like his stature, his athleticism. He's a D1 football, like 2-time All-American. So it's exciting to actually see him like, okay, let's see what Fessy's about. Like, let's actually get him onto the floor. So that was awesome. And in terms of, you know, kind of how the voting went, I mean, it's hysterical how it all works out against Nelson. And then Corey jumped in to try to like joke, well, you know, I made a promise with this guy. And everyone's like, oh no, not his best friend. You see Nelson get all like, shit, is my best friend about to throw me under the bus too?
That lucky day to Corey. That was great. I loved it.
That's funny. Poor Nelson.
It was really funny, the reveal of everyone saying, well, you did come up to me and say, again, I love Nelson sitting there going, I didn't tell anyone I'd bring him to a final. Like, Nelson, sweetie, no offense on you. Have you ever brought yourself to a final? Like, Nelson's bringing everyone along with him to the final. Like,
they showed all the flashbacks, too, of him talking to everybody. It was amazing. So it's like, Nelson, you talked to everybody.
It was edited so perfectly. Like, you did tell me, too, that you wouldn't say my name. Like, you did tell me last night you wouldn't say my name. And someone was like, that's seven.
It worked out for him. It like, him lying to all those people, in the end, it worked out. He got set up against a person who he could easily beat, so...
Yeah, this season is different, guys. The Red Skull thing makes this completely different. You can mess up the game like Nelson likes to do and still come out with a Red Skull.
I was happy.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. When obviously maybe you get upset when everybody's saying your name and it goes into like politics and your friendships within the house. But at the same time, there's always a silver lining for getting voted in, right? Because you have to go in anyway.
Right.
So even if like maybe you're startled, you don't want it to be your time yet, everybody has to go in. So even if Nelson is upset, I'm kind of just like, you can't be upset for that long because you need this Red Skull anyway.
Right,
right.
But once they keep getting a favor.
Right, yeah. There's always a spin zone. There's a silver lining for you getting voted in, no matter how upset
you
are.
I mean, once you have the Red Skull, though, Jenna, that's going to change. So if they go after Nelson again in 2 weeks when it's guys elimination, then he's going to be like, oh, God. Then he could be more upset, and I'll be more understanding of that. But, yeah.
My shut-up Josh moment of the night was when they saw...
Only one?
Posted. There was really, there's some in the preview for next week, but there was only one that I wrote, shut up, Josh, in my notes. And it was when they showed the four names, which were Bear, Kyle, Jordan, and Corey. And Josh came out and was trying to bring that Wes rivalry back. Mm-hmm. He was like, oh, Wes is really out to get me, so I'm so surprised my name's not out there.
I think we should make a segment for every episode that we call the Shut Up Josh part of the show.
Yes. Every week I've got to, shut up, Josh. No.
It's like, dude, you weren't even in the conversation, bro. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, Josh,
I love the guy though. Like, Benny,
Josh doesn't realize that Wes wants to keep him around because he thinks he's
exactly.
Weak. And so, that's why, Josh that's is why like, I can't believe he's.
The dude is so innocent about everything. Like, he doesn't realize that Wes is keeping him around for some reason. But Josh wants to so badly have this rivalship with Wes. And I get it. Wes is, you know, he's a freaking legend in the challenge world. So it would be a pretty dope thing to have this rivalry with a legend. So I understand where Josh is coming from, but at the same time, it is really funny that he does think there is this rivalry, but at the same time, it makes me like him even more.
Yeah it is what it is.
So another thing, and I don't want to jump the gun, but with Bear going in, can I talk about this, or is it too advanced, too fast forwarded?
Bear, if you want to. Okay.
I I think that that does go to show back to the deep, being blindsided, not thinking you're going to go in can really affect your game. Because Bear, I think, is good. I mean, I liked that Nelson took him out, but I feel like if he had known, it would have been, I mean, I think that was anybody's game, but I do think being blindsided can really throw you off your game.
Bear, totally, I mean, Bear, he's thrown down in the past. That's the thing. For me watching that, I thought it was actually, he could have went either way. I really did.
Yeah.
But he's been in some tough challenges in the past and proved himself. Uh-huh. But yeah, I do think he was obviously thrown off guard. That is a huge factor.
And he was in the top four, guys. Why would he be thrown off guard? He was in the top four. Give me a break.
No, good point.
Like a random dude.
Good point. But I think his head too wasn't in the game. You know what I mean?
Well, his head is with Kayla. What?
Right.
His other head's in the game.
True. Dude. Very
didn't
true. Ridiculous.
Bear win a couple of seasons in that same elimination? I don't know
Bear
against who, but he did.
Times.
It was that same type of elimination, though, right?
Well, he won the one against West, but that was like the ball in the bucket, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was.
There's another one though too.
He did that same elimination a couple seasons ago.
Well, we haven't gotten to the elimination yet, but we can see that. I feel like Bear's not in it, but we'll get into that more, I guess, when we get into it.
Yeah. All right, let's get into the bar scene fight, and this reminded me of every NBA fight they have, which is like all lips, no fists. Hold me back.
And, hold me back, bro.
Lame, man. It was lame, but whatever. Isn't what do you guys think of the Kyle and Nelson fight?
What?
I think it's hilarious. I think it's just
the real MVP was Melissa.
I agree. I just like
Melissa
watching
Melissa was the one that was just like just shouting out. And you know what? For a second, I got really worried because we all know she's pregnant, but during that time, no one knows she's pregnant. So she's stepping in the middle of that fight. I'm like, oh crap. Like I got like for a split second, but yeah, she was the real MVP during that fight.
That fight was awkward. Like I couldn't tell if they were kidding for the beginning. Like they came up to each other. And so Nelson basically called him a the P word. And then Kyle went to kiss him, taking a page out of Polly's book, I think. And then all of a sudden they were in a real fight. And I was like, whoa, okay. Then it's
yeah,
Kyle got really offended.
Something seems to be up with Nelson this season, right? I mean, he can be temperamental, but I feel like at every twist and turn, he's always quick to jump to his emotions. He's always quick to get in a fight with somebody. But that being said, I see both sides because I see that Kyle being like, hey, bro, I was just one of 10 to say that you made a deal with. So who am I? I mean, why are you getting a fight with me when everybody said the same thing? Everybody voted you in. But on Nelson's side, Kyle was the one that sort of started that domino effect. And he was the first one to bring up the deals that Nelson made with him. And then in turn with everybody. So I don't know if this was something that all the guys in the house planned together before the deliberation. Saying, hey, did Nelson make a plan with you? He made a plan with me. Or if Kyle was the one that exposed it and then everybody like followed suit. But I mean, yeah, Nelson, I mean, he seems to be picking a fight with everybody. So it's almost like there's no excuses. But I guess I get where he's coming from when he says, like, okay, you were the first one to do it. But again, I'm being Twitter Nelson defender tonight.
This is the one season Nelson can get away with all of his nonsensical just thoughts. He's like, yeah, that'll work. Maybe this will work.
Let me throw something else and see what sticks.
It's his pandemic personality. It's like, okay.
Just going for it right now.
It's Corona.
Yeah, do we ever learn why Kyle was the reciprocate of his wrath? Like, why? Again, everyone
he was
did
the,
it.
He was the first person to say it, I think.
Yeah,
he was the
first
one.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, okay.
Everyone piled on. But you know that. Remember, we talked about this the other weeks, how you can, as long as you're not the first person to vote someone in, everyone else is safe except for that first person, which was Kyle this week.
Yeah.
We talked about that, yeah.
I do agree with Benny, though. It's cool to see a spark in Melissa again because I miss her kind of scrappiness from season one when, you know, she came out and she fought Cam.
Yeah.
And she had that awesome elimination with Sylvia. So it's good to see her kind of like back in the, you know, she's showing a little bit of personality and some aggression again.
Back in the nitty-gritty.
Yeah.
Let's get into the tribunal, guys. They go with Jordan, Kyle, Bear, and Corey. Each one of them reacts differently to it. I had a conspiracy here where it's like, for the fact that they don't want to go in, like Corey doesn't want to go in, Bear definitely doesn't want to go in. I'm like, is it just because you guys feel like you want more airtime and want to build your story more? You're afraid if you go in, you'll lose, and then you're off the show for a while and you'll lose that, I don't know, it factor of people seeing you. Like, is that why you don't want to go in? Because you need a red skull. And when they run out, I know, I get you'll get more weeks on the show, but that's my conspiracy. They just want to be on the show longer.
I somewhat agree with you on that. I think that goes more towards Bear. I feel like Bear is more, and even who said this? Corey said this. He was comparing Bear and Nelson together, and he was saying that, you know, Nelson is here for, or me and Nelson are here for the actual like challenge. We want to win that money. And Bear, you know, he's there for a good time. He's there for good laughs. And so he wants to stay there as long as he can. I honestly don't think he really, and I could be wrong, but I really don't think he cares as much as the other people to make it to that final. But he wants to get in as many episodes as he can. He wants to stay there as long as he can. Because let's be real, even though they're in like this weird place, it's a good time down there. So why wouldn't you want to stay there as long as you can?
Right.
And he's probably getting paid for an episode.
Right. As I say, the longer he's on the show, the more his stake goes up. I mean, he's there for Kayla and he's there for the party, for, you know, his brand.
His brand. He gets a weekly payment.
Right.
And if he doesn't win the final, he gets no money anyway, so he might as well stay on as many weeks as he can.
Right.
Make that
also,
it makes sense. I get it. Yeah.
You look at a Tori who wanted to go in and get her red skull, and now she's home. So, you know, if you're not in, you can't go home. So it's right. I get that eventually you're going to have to go in, but I feel like people that are a little more cautious don't necessarily want to go in, even though they're going to have to eventually. And I kind of get it. You want to ride it out the best that you can.
Yeah, like, to me, it almost says that he's not confident that he will win the elimination, you know? So he is just trying to make it week to week because he doesn't think that he'll win the elimination. He doesn't think that he'll make the final. So he knows he just has to get that week by week paycheck. You know what I mean? Which kind of contradicts what we first saw of Bear when he first stepped onto the scene as of the challenge, right? Because he seemed very confident. He seemed very like, I will take out anyone, wherever, whenever, time and place, which sure was probably a TV personality, but to see him tonight, it was really, it seemed very different to me than the original competitor we saw there.
I agree, Jen. I feel like his spark, his fire isn't the same. I feel like he's mellowed out a bit. Like, you're right. When he first came, he was just like this obnoxious, outspoken, energetic, like just, yeah, I'll take on the world. And now I think he's more of just kind of like, you know, just having fun, hooking up with girls, and just being on TV. It's just not the same. There was not the fire when he was in that elimination. I didn't see it.
Have you guys seen Bear lately? The dude is like ripped like no other now.
Yeah.
So if he's on season 36, like, I feel like it's going to be a different Bear.
Hopefully.
Ooh. A grizzly bear? Oh, so corny. I hate myself. Edit it out. I love laughing.
No. All right, let's jump into purgatory, guys. We got pole wrestling, Fessy and Jordan versus Nelson and Bear. I guess
we didn't talk about Big T.
Oh, Big T. I'm so sorry.
Bloody foot.
Well, Benny, I wrote something down about this for you, Benny. I guess our gentleman's bet is over because she's just going to get sent home anyways because she can't compete with 3 stitches in her toe. Who knows? What are your thoughts, guys? That was my thought.
I forgot what our gentleman's bet was.
Our gentleman's bet is about Big T making. I said she's going to not make the final, and you said she's going to make the final. And now we got to, if we have to cancel it because she has to go home due to injury, I don't think it's fair. Our gentleman's bet.
Yeah.
It's destroyed.
I mean, how much time is in between each, you know, challenge and elimination? If she's got like a week, then she might be okay. But if it's like 2 days, she's going to be screwed.
I know. Okay, I don't mean to like put the damper on anybody's injury, but when they showed it, I was like,
"What did she do?"
I mean,
the chair. Like, I guess there was like open wood or something on the chair, and she cut it on the chair. So it didn't look that bad. Like, it looked like a big gash, but something that you could like stitch up. I don't know.
Really, like, it was dramatic effect for the show a little bit.
Possibly.
I don't know. They were between
between the cup of noodles and now her busting her foot open, I think the moral of the story is alcohol is a hell of a drug, kids.
Well, I did enjoy Big T this episode, though, when she was saying she was a savage and she was coming for everybody. Yes. I did thoroughly enjoy her.
Me too.
They were giving her crap about not being tough enough, and then 2 seconds later, her toe busts open, and then she yells out, "Fresh cotton pads."
Fresh cotton pads. That was what upset her. Like, fresh cotton pads. What is that?
She is so good. I do like Big T.
I'm really glad she got highlighted this episode because you really got to see her, more of her personality, because last season we really didn't get to know her that well because wasn't she like the first girl that was sent home? So this So for this one, it was cool to finally see more of her personality.
Yeah, I like Big T. She's really cool. I'm glad that they brought her back.
Any other thoughts on Big T? I don't want to cut the time.
I hope her toe's okay.
Yeah, I hope she's not going for that. That'll suck.
I know. Big Toe, we're rooting for you to get back.
Big T is Big Toe.
That's Banana's nickname for that tonight, so that was great. All right, so it's Fessy versus Jordan, Nelson versus Bear, and as soon as I see that Fessy's going against Jordan, I'm like, dude, Jordan's the best, but like, he's half his size. Let's start with that. And then we all know the other issue that Jordan has. He only has one hand, man. Like, it's not fair. He was going to be screwed. He was screwed.
I'm worried about the size portion, because even though you're a smaller person can still take out a bigger person in that type of challenge. But yeah, with the hand situation, I really don't see it going any other way.
Yeah. With a competitor, an athlete like Fessy, he's a legitimate athlete. And then you have Jordan already at a disadvantage with one hand. It's not so much the size, but I think it's just the fact alone that, you know, you got this big, strong dude who's a legitimate athlete with two strong hands, and you got one guy with one hand, and there's so much strategy that has to go into that. You're at such a disadvantage. That's got to be a miracle to pull that off.
And we were reminded in this episode of when Jordan, with one hand, beat a giant guy, Josh, in a tug of war. And I was thinking, I don't know. I'm not counting Jordan out yet. I mean, it wasn't looking good, but I do have a lot of faith in Jordan's ability, but Fessy is also a smart giant competitor. Even right. Jordan was saying he's got a good grip and he knows how to use his weight to his advantage. So Jordan couldn't really get that. And he couldn't really get anything over on him because he wasn't able to sort of trip a win out because Fessy was also strategizing and giant and had hands. So it was hard.
I feel like we've seen Jordan in a lot of eliminations that seem to specifically go against his, you know, his disability, his one hand, but he's always come out on top and he seems to win them like 85, 90% of the time. And this is one I was going in like, don't rule him out. He's so good. And forget what everybody says about him being arrogant or cocky. And sure, that might be true, but I can't help but love Jordan because I know he always puts his money where his mouth is. He always backs it up. And going into this, I was like, I think Fessy is great. I like him. I like his personality. I think that he's strong, but also humble. But come on, Jordan. You know, I'm rooting for Jordan in this elimination. But it felt, and everything is fair in the game, right? It's a competition. It's a game. But I felt like this is truly unfair from the back because it was like, what is he really going to do? I mean, I'm not ruling him out, but this is kind of unfair.
I mean, you saw Bananas 100%, Jen. So Bananas felt bad the whole time. I think Bananas has a lot of respect for Jordan, and Jordan has a lot of respect for Bananas just overall, just throughout the game that they played for so many years. So you can see Bananas like feeling bad the entire time, like, oh man, like I know I had to make this move, but this is a great way to get Jordan out of the game, but wasn't the right way to do it.
But Wes even admitted he felt a little bad, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but then Wes also said, I mean, you have to risk 2 episodes ago, Jordan threw juice in Wes's face, so Wes isn't going to forget that.
Right.
Jordan himself would never want to be handicapped, quote unquote.
Right.
Like,
right.
And again, we've seen Jordan take out people when it seemed impossible. So this one, it wasn't his night. He didn't win. And again, I agree. I thought it was cool that Bananas and Wes were both like, it didn't feel good seeing an amazing player go out like this. Right. But you got to do what you got to do. And,
exactly.
And I think Jordan would agree. I don't think Jordan would have wanted them to spare him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I don't blame Bananas and Wes at all, because it's $1 million for them at the end of the day. Right. You need to do what you need to do. I'm not saying it's like Bananas and Wes should have taken it easy on him. I'm just saying in the realm of like the challenge gods and the way that the elimination was picked out, it seemed like it really sucked that it was unfair disadvantage the entire time.
Here's another conspiracy for you guys. Do you think that the producers purposely made this challenge knowing that Bananas and Wes had full control to throw Jordan in there and he would definitely get eliminated? And this also builds on the Bananas and Wes teammate thing, because like it gives them more of like, ooh, now we can hate them more for doing this to Jordan, and it builds on their grouping, because this is the only season they're ever going to work together.
So yeah, producers like, well, let's. I think there is a possibility that might be true, but I think the producers maybe thought Jordan maybe could have pulled it off, and it would have been
It's a win-win for the producers though, Benny, too. Right. It's a win-win for the producers, Benny. It's a win-win. Your wins. It's insanely
amazing. I'm gonna go
amazing.
Out on a limb.
But it would have been even crazier if Jordan, this guy with one hand, beat Fessy, this huge football athletic player, in this challenge. So you could be right on that.
I think if it wasn't Fessy or maybe CT, Jordan would have had a chance to win this, even with like those guys that are smart and strong. It's almost impossible, like that well matched him with brains and then completely above him in terms of size. If it was a physically well matched person, I think Jordan could have still pulled out the win.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I mean, if it was Nelson or Bear in there, I think Jordan totally could have had it.
Totally. Yeah, you're right, David. Yeah.
I just think that no matter who you put in against Fessy was going to lose. The dude's a D1 athlete. This is like D3. This and he's gonna win no matter what. He's too
strong. Like the Mel Jenny.
It's huge. He's just too big, guys. He's
of the challenge, I think that Jordan is just as much D1 as Fessy. Jordan has played the challenge
Fessy. For this particular elimination, not overall, Fessy, whatever. I don't know him overall. For this particular challenge, no one's beating Fessy, in my opinion.
I think if CT was still around, I would have let this be CT and Fessy.
Okay. You don't have to.
I think that's the only one.
That's how I feel.
Because do you remember a couple seasons ago when Derek went against, I think it was Jarrell in the same challenge? And
I thought it was Josh.
It was someone bigger than Derek, and Derek pulled it off. So, like, I don't think size, obviously size has something to do with it, but it's how you play that challenge.
No, this thing's all about grip strength, dude.
But it makes harder if you're just working with one hand.
Right. That's what I mean. It's like, this is legitimately about grip strength, core, and leverage, and being low to the ground. And when you got one hand, you're already at a huge disadvantage, you know, because you have to hold on.
The consensus is, regardless of whether you like Jordan or not, because his personality or his attitude, I think that he is truly one of the best competitors to ever be on the show.
Yes.
So regardless, like, it sucks to see him go, because with his disability too, he is still better than all y'all, you know?
Isn't he the only one to win like two consecutive or three consecutive finals?
No, Darrell. No. Darrell won four. Darrell won four consecutive finals.
Wow, okay. Darrell won four?
I mean, I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago in one of my games.
I know Jordan broke some record. I can't remember.
I think he has the most money. Yeah. Jordan's won the most money, I think.
That's Ashley.
Yeah.
Ashley, right on. I didn't know.
Well, she stole $1 million from Hunter. That helped out.
Yeah, that's good. That helps.
I mean, regardless of mad respect for Jordan, you know.
Mad respect for Jordan. Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah, it was
keep going, Jen. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I was going to say, it was sad that at the end, you know, Jordan obviously had that shoulder injury and he came down pretty hard on his shoulder. It was sad to see that Fessy just handle him like a rag doll at the end of it, because Jordan's better than that, but it was an unfair elimination for him. So it kind of sucks that like the last we saw of him was him literally being like a chew toy, you know?
To conclude in Jordan, he's amazing. He should have had no freaking right winning, getting anywhere close, and he got him just, I mean, like, he's such a good competitor that everyone was still doubting that he would lose this.
Yeah.
He's the only person in the world that, you know, you'd be scared of, even if you were Fessy.
Anissa was like, "Oh no, he'll be fine. He'll be fine. Don't worry. His arm isn't injured. See, it was all in his helmet." So they were definitely rooting for him.
Yeah,
and I think we all were.
Yep.
Yeah. Let's just do some news and gossip before we wrap things up tonight. I have a game. I'm going to save it for next week. We don't have enough time, so I'll save it.
Okay.
Benny, you have any news and gossip for us about Cara Maria, maybe? I saw
that. Yeah. So Cara Maria, she went on this whole spiel. She finally came out of her own mouth on why she wasn't on this season, why her and Polly aren't on this season. So she basically said that, like, some of the cast members had it out for Polly. They were tired of him winning. And she was saying in order for them to beat him, they banned him. And Jenna,
did she give names to who did this?
She did not give names, but she said the people that you are watching right now who have the numbers are responsible for getting Polly banned. That's what she said.
But bananas?
There's a video showing the fight that happened that Cara Maria was talking about. So Cara Maria said that they had set Polly up and they jumped him, and then other people were recording it, and they sent that recording to the higher ups to say, you know, we don't feel safe around this guy. He's scary. We don't want him on the challenge next season. But Josh, he stepped in. He saw what Cara Maria was saying, and he had a completely different story. He said that Polly was the one that started everything. And I guess the fight was against Polly and Josh. Polly tried to take a swing at Josh, and that's when Josh tried to defend himself. So it's a he said, she said situation.
Why would they go to all this trouble to get him off the show? Like, it just seems far-fetched to me, but whatever.
They said
he's really not liked.
Cara Maria said that they were tired of him winning, and they just didn't want him.
Winning what? Like, yeah. He hasn't won a challenge yet. I mean, I think Polly is a great competitor. He's definitely a force to be reckoned with. But, I mean, we saw him, like, completely die in the final last year. So, like, where are we getting at with this whole
– She was saying that he was sending people home one after another after another. Which is true. Last season he did do that. But, so I don't know what to believe, to be completely honest.
I gotta defend my girl. But,
oh, here we go.
Maria defender.
There it is.
She did say they're sick of him winning from what the 5 seconds I saw. She said these people are sick of him sending them home or beating them in an elimination. Okay. So, which he does. He does do that. I don't know if he's ever won. But again, that's all I'm going to say to defend her, because I still think this is ridiculous. But I also think Josh is ridiculous. Josh is making it about him somehow too. Like,
well, no, okay. Well, I'm gonna stick up for Josh though. Josh, he was in that
Josh
fight.
Defender.
Josh was in that fight against Polly, so obviously, of course, he's gonna say something about it. And whether it's true or not, he was the main person in that fight, so he's gonna say something.
Okay, I gotta see this fight.
You can defend Cara because she's just defending her man. So
Cara is so competitive with me though about our workout routines. Yeah. She's always trying to start a thing.
I see
I can do more push-ups than you. And I'm like, Cara, I can probably do more push-ups than you. You know, so she's really competitive with me about our physical fitness.
She's not a
right, guys. Unfortunately, with that, we have to wrap up. We could talk about Cara all night, though. We want to thank you guys for joining us here at AfterBuzz TV, the challenge after show. My name's Daniel Lingren. Hit me up on, what am I doing, TikTok? Yeah, Idiot Box Boys. Come on, I need some followers. Pam.
Pam me. I'm Pamela Grosschill on Instagram and Twitter, and love hearing from you, so please hit me up. Tell me your thoughts.
Jenna.
Love you guys. Thank you for watching us. I'm at Twitter. I'm on Twitter at Jenna_Bussier.
Benny.
Thank you guys once again for joining us. You can find me on all social media at Benny J. Adams. Also, make sure you follow AfterBuzz TV's exclusive Instagram page, Challenge News Now.
David.
And thank you guys, as always, for hanging out with us. Hope you're safe and healthy at home. You can find me on Instagram at David_Christopher_official, or every Wednesday with these awesome people here at AfterBuzz. Thanks so much, guys.
All right.
Bye, guys.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.